dudes chilling.
Yeah, just hearing about Darren dance, Latin dance.
Yeah, I do remember, Darren, there's that one photo of you from doing the Latin dance performance. It's you like in this power stance and one hand's up here. And I don't know what sound you're making, but it looks like you're going like, woo, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, that's literally what we were doing.
Yeah.
I forgot
yeah.
if I took that picture or not.
There's a good there picture if you took it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I took it.
I have a cropped thing right here. Let me see if I can. Yeah. Yeah, can I even show this on camera?
Yeah, go for it.
Can I show? Like, I don't think it's gonna.
Yeah,
it's kind of blurry.
Yeah. Okay, no, now I have to refocus this stupid thing.
We'll put
thing.
The clip
yeah.
in.
Yo, I gotta say this. Yo, there is that one moment I saw Darren. You know when he was like this, right? I swear he stuck out his tongue like this, like that.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I made
so
some pretty
intense.
Crazy faces.
Yeah, you made it look.
Wait, Darren, when was this? 2019?
Yeah, it was, and it was. It's on YouTube. You can find the whole thing under like PAL Binghamton Latin 2019. But honestly, no, there was one part where she told us to take off the suspenders, and I was like, dude, this feels like a power move right now. Like, you know, like removing the suspenders like that. Bro, the audience like cheered for everything. It's just it's just mad hype. Yeah.
Yeah. All I gotta say is, damn, Darren.
Yeah.
Damn.
Honestly, it wasn't as hard as you think to like do like all those like lifting movements and like, you know, throwing them around. I mean, my partner was pretty light, but I thought it would have been much
Darren
harder.
Said he's brawlic.
No, you don't even need to be really that strong. You just need to like practice it, and it just looks cool, but I don't think it's really that crazy.
Yeah, Darren is
low-key anyone can
brawlic,
do that.
Like what Richard said, like, yo, he's been gaining some strength, bro. Like, he went from bench, he benches like, how much is he benching now? He benches 135, 5 reps. That's
yeah,
really
no,
good. Yeah.
Darren, what, Darren, you went
it's
from
like
45
plus like 15, I think, pounds on top of that right now. But that's pretty standard, I think. No, but from where I came from, it is a pretty big jump.
And with your body weight, too, that's impressive, bro.
Wait, you're lifting body weight or?
No, like we're lifting like weights. Yeah. But like basically, like my body weight is low, but he's saying that I lift above my body weight pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
It's really good.
Oh, I thought you meant like whatever you weigh, that was the amount of weight that you had on the bar.
Oh, no,
is that
no,
what
no.
You're saying?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
No.
I mean, he could do that too. He could do that too. Yeah. It'll be easy for him.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because you said 45 plus 15. To me, that sounded like 45 pounds is just the bar itself.
Oh, no. Then you put the plates on top of that. Basically, when anyone says any like weight number, like, oh, I do a plate, this, that, it's pretty much how much is on one side of the bar.
Oh, is on. Oh,
like so. If Noah's like, oh, I do two plates on. No, he does like three plates on bench. But if he says I do three plates on bench, that means that he has three on each side. Yeah,
and also the barbell is 45 pounds.
Yeah, so that's why I was confused. I'm like, oh, 45 plus a number. Do you mean just the bar plus whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the bar and then
a bar plus 15 pounds.
Welcome to the meathead.
Yeah.
I found Darren.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dude, it's great. It's great. I rewatched it, and I was like, I can't believe I did that. Like,
there is a clip where my face was like, and I looked over the camera like this. I was like, damn, they went up smooth like butter, bro.
Are we talking about the
no
same
pun
thing?
Intended. No pun intended.
Yeah. He's talking about lifting and Richard's talking about the Latin dancing.
Yeah. They were both smooth like butter, man.
Okay,
yo,
okay, okay.
This,
yeah.
This, but I'm saving this photo. I'm gonna put it up in this episode. Y'all see it.
Oh, really? Oh,
you're watching it on YouTube. Y'all will see it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Damn.
So
that's gonna be the
so intense.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, dude, you look so like, you looked angry. And I was like, yeah, I was.
We talked about, we know Darren can dance. I feel like Noah said he doesn't really dance too much. Richard, what about you? Are you a dance person?
No. I can do a lot of things. Dancing is not one of them. I could do a lot of other things. I could sing. I could play guitar. I do photography. I've been learning some photography from Darren. Can edit. I can do live audio. I could do other things. I will do anything else if it's not dance.
Richard can dance.
I can't dance.
Yeah, he can
dance. Do you think Richard can dance?
No, I cannot.
So now my next question is like, Is it because I'm not great at dancing or anything, but I have rhythm. Like I do music and stuff and martial arts as well as a lot of rhythm and timing and coordination and stuff like that. Dancing in front of people or at parties, I don't really do that too much. Is that what you guys mean? Or is it also like when you're alone, you'll move around a little bit? I'm assuming.
No.
Richard's just like.
Yeah, I just bop my head.
Yeah.
Sometimes at the gym, I'm just like vibing. I'm just like, I feel like I'm at a rave. But I wouldn't like actually just like dance in front of people. Like I'm gonna perform a show.
I think I dance.
Can't even move my body. I just stand there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was thinking for myself, like, why don't I like to dance at, you know, parties or weddings or whatever? I think part of it is a self-conscious thing, which is probably the most obvious part of it. Mm. I think part of it's also I usually am not crazy about the music that's going on. Sometimes it depends.
So if it was a real bop, you'd be like, bro, I can't control my body.
He needs some Mozart. Swift,
yeah.
I'd be bouncing off the walls. He wouldn't know where to find me.
Uncontrollable movement. Well, don't worry. With a couple drinks, you'll be good. All of you guys will be.
That's
great
what dancing. I think. But when when I drink, I feel like I'm still kind of the same.
Yeah. When I drink, I kind of just stare at them. I'm like, hell no, I ain't moving from this spot.
Yeah.
I got a pretty crazy alcohol experience. If you don't mind me sharing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, share.
So with the alcohol, like, so I'm pretty big when it comes to my size. So I thought, yo, I'll be a tank when it comes to alcohol, right?
Tell everyone the stats. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe my power might be good. But my alcohol tolerance is like 20-30%, man. Like, I actually can't tolerate alcohol well. Like, and it's a good thing I found out, but I felt like crap literally the moment I drank like 4 cups of.
What was the drink?
He goes like four cups full of Hennessy or something.
But it was like a mix between like lemon. It's like lemon, like vodka or something. It was like half vodka.
Okay.
It was a mixed drink, right?
After it was a mixed drink,
You said 4 cups. After 4 cups, I don't think anyone's really feeling great.
Oh no, I think it was 3.5. I don't remember, but yeah, I was like, I just made a stupid ass decision, but. Like I said, I'm glad I'm serious that, so like I know my limits. So what happened after was there was a club downstairs, and because of that, like the music's loud, right? Like everyone's jumping up and down. There were even like people like making out in front of us. But I remember that moment. I actually had to go to the bathroom, and like my head was down like this. I wanted to stay there for at least 5 minutes, but I actually took like a 30 minute nap because of the amount of alcohol I drank.
Made you sleepy.
Yeah, and the guy
in the bathroom?
Yeah, in the bathroom, and the guy opened the door. He was mad pissed, and there's a huge line, and I felt super embarrassed. So I just like fled out, not turning back.
Right out the window.
Yeah.
There's a huge line.
Yeah. And I never thought like afterwards walking would be that hard. Like walking from I forgot the name of the place. It was like Hotel Chantel. And from there to the Penn Station, you have to go to the subway nearby, take 6 stops, and you have to walk to Penn Station. But even though, although it takes 10 to 20 minutes, I think 20 minutes to get there, that was the hardest thing.
Yo,
ever.
Wait, was this recently?
No, this was a month ago.
Oh, shoot.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah. That's pretty recent. Yeah. I thought you were talking this is like a frat party or something.
But the thing was, I didn't know that place was going to be a club. So I think with that, with like the loud ass music, the people like jumping up and down.
You go with KCF people?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
actually. That's so funny.
And they were actually looking for me. Great. They were texting me and be like, yo, you all right, man? And I was like, yo, how long was I knocked out for? And I looked at the time and was like, oh, shoot, we're going to miss the train.
Damn.
But luckily, we caught the last train at the Penn Station, so we're good. But like, I slept a whole way through. And I felt
a
lot better,
bro.
Yeah.
I was wondering what happened to you that night, bro. Damn.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm pretty sure it's probably because of mixed drinks too. Because like, don't they always say like fizzy stuff with alcohol? Like that's why they say champagne gets you like hella drunk, hella fast.
Yeah.
Or like sugary drinks.
What were they saying? They were like baking soda and alcohol together can't cancel out. Was that it? Like.
It literally sounds like you're doing a baking soda vinegar thing. It's just bubbling.
Yeah, no. I saw something like that, like where it just cancels out the taste and it just tastes like straight water.
No, I know what you mean.
That kind of sounds like a frat guy thing, not to bash on frat guys or anything. Yeah. Or on your wisdom here, but I feel I can just picture in my head. Like some dude just takes a shot and he's like, dude, that was one too many. And then the dude just gives him a spoonful of baking soda. Like,
baking soda. Dude,
this will help you.
No, it's really scary because if you, the one thing that's like stopping you, I feel like from actually consuming like so much to where you don't really know like your limit is like the taste, right? So like if you mitigate that taste and it just tastes like water and you just keep drinking, you know, you're not going to know where your limit is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
They tried doing like a while ago, a long time ago, they had like this, before vodka seltzers came out, they had like this water alcohol drink, but it was basically marketed as water, but with alcohol in it.
Mm-hmm.
So makes any sense.
Basically you get drunk seltzer out of water.
It's like seltzer without the bubbles, which is really interesting. I don't know what happened to it. Probably died. Maybe like they got in trouble with the government because like kids were probably mistaking it as bottles of water, but it literally looked like a bottle of water.
It looked like vodka, but didn't taste like vodka.
No, it looked like a bottle of water. It was the opposite. It wasn't that it looked like vodka, and then people were like, "Oh, it doesn't taste like vodka." It was like it looks like water, and then people drank it. They're like, "It's alcohol."
Yeah, I can't imagine someone saying like, "I get drunk off of water."
Yeah, right.
Uber lightweight.
Yeah.
Yo, you're actually just the biggest lightweight.
So what kind of drunks are you guys? Is what I'm asking.
I haven't really been drunk.
No, that's not true.
Yeah. Yo. No, seriously. I think it was once, but I think I'm just smiley and I talk more. That's about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
I talk a lot already, so.
His smile just gets bigger like a Joker. Like he forms like that.
Oh my god.
The red paint.
Monstrosity afterwards.
Wait, so everyone else has to answer too? What the heck?
Yeah.
No, we're just going to move on. Just
come on, man.
What? Sorry, man. World?
Thanks, Richard. Exposing me? Gonna end it there.
All right, yeah, I guess the question was just for Richard. Yeah.
Wow.
I can go next. I feel like I'm pretty much the same when I drink a lot, and I think that speaks to my like anxiety and being self-conscious. Mm-hmm. One thing that I do think a lot about when I'm drunk is whether or not I'm drunk and how I'm being perceived and how I'm acting. So I feel like that so just acts like, as a failsafe.
You're paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, I'm self-conscious more than paranoid.
I think for you, then, when, like, if you were to try something like weed, for instance, you would be, like, bugging. In that sense, because
I mean,
if you're
not
like, if you're
necessarily speaking
it.
From experience or anything, but I don't think bugging is what happens. Because again,
like you'd be ultra paranoid, right?
No, Mike just looks hella smiley, right, Mike?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so just like the moment.
It'll
yeah,
amplify whatever you're
also the Joker,
whatever
too.
you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah, but it's not like it's not paranoid externally, where I think people are watching me, or whatever. It's more just me. Self-consciously looking at how I'm behaving and what I'm doing, and like Noah was talking about walking. I remember walking home, not necessarily after any kinds of substances or anything, but just really focusing in on: am I walking straight right now? I think I was walking kind of straight. But I don't know, it's people tell me when I say that, oh, I'm not that different when I drink a lot. People say, oh, that means you haven't drank enough, and I'm like, I've drank to the point where I've thrown up several times, so I feel like it's a good amount.
You hold it down. Yeah,
I get arguably.
Yeah,
I've gotten that from people before because I think I can only count off the top of my head like really like knowing I was drunk once, and that was because someone bought a whole bottle of vodka and we're like taking shots, which is unfortunate.
Yeah,
the STEM part of my brain, or the science part of my brain rather, that kind of STEM, really wants to just sit down and chart this out. Just go one shot every 30 minutes and then just mark that behavior. Take reflex tests.
Maybe you need someone else that's charts. Sober to mark that behavior.
That's
going to be like scribbles at the end of the night.
No, because I'm the same way as Mike to some degree, where it's like, I feel like I'm pretty highly functional even if I drink, but that also is because I haven't really gotten drunk before. So then most people are like, you just haven't drank enough. Like, you haven't drank enough to lose control. I was like, yeah, but I like being in control. I like that I don't need to brown out or black out.
Yeah, it's not like something you have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of people, I think, act like it's something you need to do in college or whatever. But
rite of passage or something.
Yeah. You don't got to. Yeah.
It's all peer pressure, man. Like, people drink. They have, like, some people have to drink it. Some people, like, choose to drink it. Or some people, they don't drink it at all. Like, it's your choice.
Yeah, yeah. All right, no.
You don't have to.
I think Noah's the last guy.
Who's up?
Wait, Darren, you didn't even talk about
it. No, you didn't even go, man.
Oh, you want me to go first?
I know I could go first, but I don't have much to
experience.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to say. I'm pretty sure.
I think you're pretty sum of your experience. You're pretty much a sleepy. You're sleepy drunk.
Yeah, I just get drowsy.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah,
it's a depressant.
I do think that Richard's also sleepy, but
yeah, no, depends. I think it depends. It depends on the type of alcohol. I think like wine, for example, just makes me tired.
Just, I feel like there's usually a little dip where you get tired, but then when you power through it and drink more, then the energy shoots right back up.
To be honest, it really depends on the type of alcohol you're drinking. Some will make you feel different kinds of ways. I would say like with some I am a sleepy drunk, and then some of them just like hype me up more, and then like I become energetic. We'll say that. I just speak my mind. I just get really energetic.
He's on set with a night shoot, just down in flasks left and right. This is my wake up flask. This is my go to sleep flask.
Right.
He's like Mad Eye Moody, but when it wasn't Mad Eye Moody in the Harry Potter movies.
Oh, okay. When he's constantly like looking for like embarrassing Crowley or whatever.
And the Paul Juice potion.
A fun fact, after that night, I still went to the gym the next morning.
Yo, the commitment.
Yeah, I know you did, dude. God bless you.
Yeah, I was with one of my friends. I don't know if I should say his name. Like, I don't know if it's okay. But I'm like really close to them too. And I told him like, yo, I don't know if I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not in the mood, bro. And then the next day, I was like, you know, screw it. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to hit the legs. Yeah. And it was legs too. And that's like the most difficult workout.
Were you hungover? Did you feel any like of the effects when you're at the
gym? Oh, I felt it, man, when I went home. Like I was like, I just like knocked out like that. I mean, I brushed my teeth. I had to. Like, I didn't want to smell like alcohol the next morning.
Yeah.
Nice.
No, but like, were you hungover at the gym?
Yeah, like at the gym, did you have a headache and stuff because of it?
I mean, it wasn't really a headache, but I did feel a little different. Like, I felt weaker. But I went.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but I just went lower weight. I didn't want to.
I don't think anyone feels better after like a night of drinking and then going.
Wait, Darren, you said that's understandable. So we would like to know.
Yeah. Understandable,
I
want to
know
right?
why that is.
What is it, Darren?
I mean, you know, after like, you know, a night of drinking, you're not gonna feel like invincible the next day. Like, I don't think anyone feels like, wow, this is great, and you know, and they're like lifting heavy and everything.
That's true.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Just for context, you guys, so Darren does come to the gym pretty consistently. The only time he doesn't really stay with us fully is for legs.
Yeah. And that's because it's morning time. All right.
Yeah.
Oh my god, you do legs in the morning?
In the morning I do,
10 a.m.
Yeah.
Bright and early.
Damn, because Richard, the worst of everything.
Yeah, because Richard and I, we have full time jobs, so we're not gonna have the energy to do legs after we finish work.
Yeah, but if you work out 4 times a week, you know what I mean? It gets kind of crazy. Like, I feel like the schedule is pretty crazy, but it's
Yo,
sustainable.
Darren, you say it's kind of crazy. Noah, how many times do you go to the gym a week?
At minimum 5.
That's true. Yeah. No.
Let's
get into this fitness conversation then.
That sounds so boring to me. Wait, before we do this, let's intro the show real quick.
Oh, we need to intro the show.
Yeah. The show runtime.
I know, literally.
Hello, and welcome to the Amateur Hour, the official podcast of Amateur Mastermind Productions. Each episode, a few young creatives get together to talk about whatever it is young creatives talk about. I'm one of your hosts and the boring drunk of the group, Mike Messina. With me is the non-drunk of the group, Richard Chow. Also with me is the variable drunk of the group, Darren Tun. And joining us in the very special fourth seat, the guest seat for today, rejoining us again from last episode, is the buff drunk of the group, Mr. Noah. Noah, thank you again for joining us. Let's get into the sports cast.
For sure. Thanks for having me again, man.
All right, let's talk about lifting.
Yeah. we'll delve a little bit into the gym scene. So Noah goes to the gym 5 times a week.
Yeah. And what's your daily routine?
So my daily routine, I mean, Darren, Richard, you guys already know. But so on Mondays, I do shoulders, forearms. It used to be core, but someone here doesn't like core, so we decided to move it to forearms.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but yeah, they should definitely do core.
Right, Darren?
Was it Darren?
Right. Is it Darren?
Was that me? No, I don't really think so, but someone right, anyway, the
anyways,
and they didn't like it.
So. Chest. Oh, no. So Tuesdays, I should do my powerlifting stuff, so I do squats, deadlift, and I do hip thrust, maybe leg press. I do the intense stuff in that day, so I just go by myself. And it's Wednesdays, chest and tries. Thursdays, right now I'm just home, I don't really do anything, so it's a nice rest day. Fridays, what I do, back and buys, and then Saturday I do legs, glutes, calves, and Sundays I do arms, and I bench that day too. So actually, it is like 6 times a week.
There's like a little bit of every kind of split that ever. Yeah. Like back and buys, you know, it's my pull day. Yeah. And then there's also my arm day. That's also my chest day. Yeah. And my powerlifting day.
It sounds like Noah's so many training different. For something. Yeah. Noah's definitely training for something, right? Some kind of competition, right?
Nah, man. But like, it'll be a lot of, I think it'll be nice to like try out powerlifting, but I feel like I want to be a lot stronger than I am right now in order to enter the powerlifting scene.
So you're much stronger than the average guy in the gym, like way stronger than the average guy in the gym.
Yeah,
but
I would say I'm like the top 15. I would say 15th percentile at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not to boast. Not to be cocky. Like, I'm being truthful.
But those are just the stats, bro. You know, you can't deny the stats.
Yeah. You squatted what, 4 plates recently?
So my max was 425. Actually,
that's crazy.
When I tested it out.
Yeah.
That's all three of us combined, guys.
Yeah.
That's me, Darren.
When Noah does his like heavy set, like that's when everyone in the gym just starts like turning around. And they're like, what the hell?
Whoa. Who is that?
He's leveling
the
up.
The fan goes and Noah's
oh my God.
Flips.
Yeah.
Wait, do they actually stare though? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, but they do. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's like turning around like, dude, look at that guy.
I think it's also because I kind of make those like
the grunting powers,
like the grunting noises. I'm just like
tennis.
Yeah.
Not really. There's another guy at the gym who's even louder.
He's like,
oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. He comes on a Saturday morning. Deadlifts, right?
Yeah, he just yeah, like, yeah. It's like he's like powering up like a Super Saiyan or something.
Yeah, everyone's like, what the hell's going on?
And so then Noah, there's
oh, go ahead.
I was gonna say like he like creates an earthquake too.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Okay, that guy is that guy. I think he's probably the strongest guy I've seen at the gym. Right,
the bowler.
Oh, yeah, I think he's weaker than some of the.
No, he's weaker than some conflicted. Other people, but he's still considered one of the strongest.
Okay.
Michael, what was it that you wanted to say?
What got you into working out and then lifting specifically? And how long have you been doing it exactly?
All right, y'all. For those watching at home, you're in for a treat. You're in for a nice Noah story. All right, so
let me pull up the video. Yeah.
No, let me pull up
the documentary real quick. Pull up that documentary.
Yeah, I actually have a slideshow right in front of me. But but in all seriousness, though, like what Richard said earlier in like the last episode of the podcast, I actually started out doing a lot of cardio related sports. So I did track, swimming, tennis, volleyball, or all sorts of that stuff, and even biking too. And then I was like, you know, I think when we were younger, we wanted to be the fastest one, right? Not necessarily the strongest one.
Yeah.
But then nowadays it's more like, oh, I want to be the stronger one. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, you were like, this stuff is getting me skinny.
Yeah, I don't want to be that skinny. Like, like for me, like that's not my physique. I didn't want to be like a pretty skinny guy. I wanted to like have size. I wanted to have definition, right? Mm-hmm. So at first, I think I started working out in my senior year of high school. And I knew nothing about the gym. I actually got advice from people, just like how you, Darren, you and Richard started out. I like taught you guys. I like went with like one of my friends that went to the gym before I did, and he just showed me like the basics around the gym, like what to do for chest, for back, etc. And after that, I was like, oh, okay. But then, like, the first 2 weeks, I hated it. I was like, oh, man, this is tough. I'm feeling sore. Like, I don't know if this is worth it, worth the money. But then when I actually saw change, like, I actually saw, like, good change. And I lost weight because of it, too. And I felt better. Like, my sleep routine was a lot better. And just mentally, too. I think that's one of the biggest things for me is mental strength. Because I lacked in that a lot. And I would easily get discouraged. No, I wanted to quit after, like, a few days. That was my mentality back then.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
After, like a long time in the gym, you start getting that.
Mentally discouraging. Yeah,
because because it's like you have to constantly challenge yourself. Every set is a challenge. You know what I mean? It's like body, like mind over body. That's what I was about
exactly.
To say.
Yeah,
but starting also, is the hardest part.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but I think the biggest, also another big thing for me is confidence. Like that's something I really lacked in a lot, and I felt like going to the gym helped me with that. Like when I was around that time, even before the gym, I had low self-esteem. A lot of low self-esteem, being like, oh, I can't do it. I don't know if this is worth it. Like, I put a lot of negative, I was surrounded by a lot of negative emotions. But then after I saw the change, I kept going. And I got a lot stronger, too. And then, like, it became an addiction, actually. Like, I actually loved going to the gym because it is, like, a safe space for me. It is a way to cope with stress. There's other ways I cope with stress too, but gym is one of the main ways I cope with stress. And I've been going ever since. And so now this is like my fourth, fifth year working out. And
wow, you guys have been going on pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's basically my story.
There's one thing I want to pick up on is like the fact that it's like a safe space for you, which I thought was really cool. And then also how like it's like a way for you to release stress. I think Noah, weren't we randomly talking to someone that I think you were friendly with at the gym when he was saying, yeah, like this is a great place to bring all your stress and your anger and all that stuff and then just like kind of put it into the weights. It's like a great outlet for that versus
Noah bringing the energy from the kids into the gym.
All the restraint he showed. No,
yeah, yeah. yeah, all the restraint he showed all day.
Yeah. Honestly, a gym should be it shouldn't be a place where you should compete against each other. It's a place where you should actually encourage one another.
Yeah.
To like, you know, get to like actually work out and, you know, have fun with it and feel better. Sometimes like I feel like nowadays I see it like sometimes, but like people compete against one another. And I feel like that's not really the purpose of going to the gym, right? No, it's just for your own mental health and for you yourself to get mentally and physically stronger. And that's it.
I think the craziest thing that I like witnessed in the gym, guys, is like, so one thing too is I've never done strength training before because I was also in like cardio land. I did like swimming, badminton, mountain biking. So it was a little bit of cardio strength. Basically. Kind of, right? I was a sprinter, so strength, quote unquote. But I feel like, so I started doing or going to the gym with Noah, one of our other friends, Rahul, and then Darren now, like right as a quote unquote summer was ending. So like near like August-ish, like end of August into September. And like, I swear, for like the longest time I could remember is like every time I went to the gym, I always felt like I felt self-conscious, like Mike, we were talking about like feeling self-conscious while being drunk or whatever. I felt self-conscious while working out. And then the craziest thing is like I noticed that the people who were the strongest there or like the most learned, quote unquote, there were the ones who were the most humble and the ones who like cared the least about, quote unquote, how much weight could you take or care the least about like whether or not you could hit a new weight goal. It was more so like everyone is on their own journey. You'll figure it out. Yeah. Like good job for like increasing or something like that. Like
and then on the other hand, then you have the other people who.
Yeah. Who like go there, like as Noah's like describing, it's like competing against each other. It's like, well, everyone's going to start at a different time. Everyone's going to start at a different place.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a way to be competitive with people in a positive sense. And when you're in something that is more martial arts focused, which is where I usually come from, if it is something like jiu-jitsu that I did a tiny bit of, or something like taekwondo or Krav Maga that I did
it's
a lot
driven
of,
by competitiveness.
Yeah. That, and that one is a lot, or no, I guess it is very easy to compare yourself with weights too, because that is like a numerical thing. It's literally, I can bench this X amount of pounds.
But jiu-jitsu and those martial arts, it's like this person versus this person. It's literally like,
yeah, like that. It's not comparing each other. It's fighting each other.
Yeah, you're literally fighting each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
You make contact with the other person. And
So it is hard to not be competitive in that space. But if as long as it's a healthy competitive and you're not bashing other people.
Like, I want to kill him.
Yeah, right, and those are things I do see at the gym pretty often, even though like I don't get involved in those. Like, I do witness it and hear it, and just hearing that just like pisses me off. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, I think like it's so important to like also recognize like what you're saying before, but like that mental health kind of skew, where it's like building up that confidence, knowing you could do it yourself. I think a lot of runners feel the same way. I'm sure like in martial arts, it's probably the same way too. Because you start off, I mean, Darren, you're also doing jiu-jitsu right now too, right?
Yeah.
Like you start off kind of being beat because you don't know what's going on. And then as you're learning the moves, as you're learning technique, as like, you know, you're in the gym, there's also technique involved with it, which I didn't know until Noah's like, don't increase weight until you get your form down.
But it's like, your wrist is the wrong way. Right. You got like your arm bent in a different direction.
In a different direction. And it's like, but it's like realizing you can do it, I think, as you're competing, right, with other people, but
you just learn to trust your body a little bit more. You have more confidence in your body. And I think that's the biggest thing. And I mean, it goes the same for any kind of body, you know, related sport, even if it's like dancing or something like that, the more you do it, just the more you trust in your body.
For sure.
And with the gym, it's like the strength, right? You know, you can lift this, you know, you've done it before, you've trained for it. So you trust your body with a certain amount of weight that you're putting on it. So
yeah, and it's not always a look thing either. Like, it's not just body image. For me, I feel a lot better when I feel like I can perform certain things.
You overcome.
Exactly. And for me, it doesn't really matter how much I'm working out unless I really dedicate myself to changing my diet, which I don't really feel like doing right now. I'm not going to gain mass, and I sure as hell should not be losing any mass. That would be very unhealthy for me. But so, for me, it's like these milestones aren't, I look really good. It's more, I can hit this flexibility marker, or I can hit a certain time on my mile runs or 3 mile runs or whatever it is.
We did that Thai boxing place. That was pretty brutal.
That was intense.
I was surprised. Like Mike held up way better than I did, honestly. Like, I was kind of like dead at that point. I just kept going because I was like, dude, this is a class. And if I don't keep going, it's going to, like, I'm not going to get, you know, the full advantage out of it, but it was tough. Like, we did planks for like a ridiculously long amount of time that I wasn't expecting to do. And then they were like trying to like kick people down to make sure that your plank was good. So they go around and they kind of shove you with their leg and just to see it, like how strong you were. I was like the first victim. So I went down and then they were going around. I saw them going to like Mike, and I could tell Mike was like, oh shit, yo, he's coming towards me now. Yeah. so Mike actually, you stayed pretty still. I remember.
I stayed. He didn't kick that hard though. Like,
I wasn't trying
to take my head off or anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just the first victim. So he was just putting the energy.
Yeah. You probably didn't see it coming. He blindsided.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But then it's just like punch as hard as you can for like 30 seconds straight. It's like da 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 da, and then it's like push-ups, and then you know, jump up and jumping jacks. You're nonstop moving for like a straight hour. It's crazy.
They opened every single class with like 10 minutes straight or 5 minutes straight of just jump rope.
And
that alone was really killer.
I was very untalented in the jump rope department, I will say. You know, some people can jump like every single one time it goes around, you jump once. And then I'm very like step. And then like, you know, like one leg is switching after the other. And then I think there's a beat in between. Yeah. But I have yet to be able to do like the whole like straight, you know, like beat. That people
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I, for me, I actually do prefer jump roping over running.
Oh yeah.
I feel it more rather than running, in my opinion. And also, I think for me personally, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like jump roping is a little bit easier in terms of getting stamina compared to running. I feel like with jump roping, you don't get much of an injury. And with running, sometimes your tendons will hurt.
There is a lot of shock. Yeah,
a
lot of joint pain. Like, you see all these runners getting joint pains like every so and then.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised to hear that running at one point is not good for people that were older and you know had all those problems, because I thought, oh yeah, you can run into your 80s, 90s. You know what I mean? Like, it's a great cardio activity. But then now I'm like, yeah, it really deteriorates on those, the joints, the impacts too.
Yeah. I mean, in that way, jumping rope isn't the best, because that is impact after impact every time you skip and jump. We did it, where we were barefoot in like a matted gym, that's probably the best place to do it, because you have some cushioning there.
Yeah.
And shock absorption. Wearing shoes, like there, that feels a lot different when you're jumping rope with shoes. Cause first of all, you're not having that barefoot contact, so you really feel connected to the ground. And it's also, it's a little bulky. It's a little extra, there's an extra centimeter of foam or shoe material that you need to clear. And it feels a little different, but,
they try not to make those shoes too heavy. Fun. Yeah. Running shoes are supposed to be the lightest shoe that you can get.
Yeah, I think in general, like, speaking of them, Michael, people usually work out on a flat surface, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something I talked about with Richard, and with the fact that not all people work out on a flat surface. Some people go out to the beach and run for 5 or 10 miles.
Oh, that's killer.
Yeah.
It's honestly chaos, that messes up your joints. I remember I was out there at Comset? Remember we went? I think we went one time.
Comset.
Yeah, dude, even walking around on that terrain for a long period of time was like pretty damaging on my knees.
Yeah. And that one's not just because it's like lumpy or hilly. That's because the sand moves out from under you. So you're pushing, but then you don't get any traction. So it's like three times as hard to move the same distance.
Yeah.
But because of that, it's a lot more effective too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I actually think though, it might be better for your joints. Cause again, it's a soft impact.
That's true.
Yeah. I think that's what Noah was getting at. It was like, running on sand is actually a little bit better than running on like blacktop, for example. I mean, that's why they make the tracks like out of the material they do.
I will argue against that a little bit, just because I feel like the
Darren's like my ankles are broken.
The sand does move your, I feel like it moves your legs in a weird direction where it's not normally used to moving. So you don't get like that proper motion every single time. Sometimes you'll get like wobbly motion, and like that's the part that'll like really mess you up.
Yeah. I mean, that's like hiking almost.
Yeah,
I feel like once you work those stability, those support muscles a little bit more, and like the ligaments, that kind of thing, it might be a lot more comfortable after a while once you get used to that.
But that's a good point. Yeah, but also running the track is boring too. You're just walking.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Yeah, but like if I run around my neighborhood, like go hiking or like run at maybe Comset, like I get a nice view. Like I get to see like things around me. Maybe the dogs.
Yeah. And running on a treadmill is especially boring.
Oh my God. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. It feels like you're like an experiment that, like.
Yeah, like a lab rat.
Like you're wearing those like masks, and they like, you have the scientists like jotting down notes. That's what it feels like.
Checking your vitals.
Treadmills also, they're not as good for you from a functional performance standpoint as regular running. Cause Richard knows.
You can only run as fast, right? As the setting is, right? Is that what you were going to say?
I was going to say, because it moves your feet for you. So yes, you're lifting your legs with your muscles, but it is pulling you back. So the muscle groups, that posterior chain, your glutes and your hams that you would use to assist propelling you, you're not necessarily using those as much as you normally would have to if you had to propel yourself.
That's crazy.
The treads are actually doing it for you. And I will say, as someone who ran track for 4 years straight, because I hate myself, I guess. No one loves running. If someone tells you they love running, they're lying to you, themselves, or both. They're
looking for that runner's high.
Actually, I can vouch for some people who actually say they love running.
Okay, here's the thing. I like running. I like running.
Mike's like, you're a liar.
You sure, Darren?
Yeah. I don't know. I like running, but I don't like some of the pain that's associated with it.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're on a track, that long distance track run does suck. But if you do hard, short sprint workout, especially if you have a couple people with you, that's when it becomes a little more, I won't say enjoyable because sometimes you throw up on the side of the track or something, but it is more engaging that way, where it is not just this monotonous, you know, middle pace for 18 laps. It's like, okay, just this straightaway, I need to go balls to the wall, just drain everything. And then I get to walk for a little bit, but then it's like that mental fortitude thing that you said before. Now we're waiting for that next straightaway.
Maybe I'm just different. I would say I'm the total opposite. I like the long distance.
No, but there's a difference between sprinters and long distance runners.
Yeah, my specialty is in the cross country like track department. So I get that runner's high from being able to maintain that mental stamina like for long periods of time and be able to just go. And also pair that with the speed too. Those two things together.
So. Yeah, I was the same way as well when I did track in high school and in middle school as well. I felt that I was more of a distance runner than a speed runner. Like I don't think in terms of speed, like if we were to do 100 meter, I would beat everyone. I felt like I would have been like in fourth or fifth place. But when it comes to stamina, like that's where I shine the most. I don't think I was the best out of that group. Like but I would say I was like really good in that.
You held your own.
Yeah, I held my own standards. Yeah.
Damn. I will say, going back to the competitiveness thing, I do wish I was more competitive in high school. I know I sort of suppressed that part of myself. And I also did not look up to athletes at all. I think because now I you know, watch, like we always talk about UFC and boxing. Those are sports that I really like. So now I have athletes that I can look up to and I watch train and I think, man, I want to train with that sort of mental fortitude. But back in high school, I didn't really have that. So it was kind of hard for me to get that competitive edge that a lot of other people had. So I wonder how I could have performed if I just mentally had that block sort of removed or evolved.
When I swam and Michael Phelps was just smashing through records, and I was like, okay.
That's okay.
Who I'm watching.
Okay.
Yeah. Or Katie Ledecky. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, yeah. There are crazy people on our team too, Richard. There were. Yeah, yeah. In that sense, I was like, dude, I don't know if I'll ever be as good as them. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was still good though that we were able to like compete and train and stuff, which I actually enjoyed.
No, yeah, it was great. Yeah, that team camaraderie I really enjoyed, at least from the high school sports perspective. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess for me, if there was anyone I did look up to when I started working out, was Bart Kwan and Steve Cook and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like with them, they were entertaining. Like Bart Kwan's hilarious. No,
yeah,
the weight training world.
Yeah, yeah, the weight training world, like when I was like new or like after like I started working out for 2 or 3 months now, and I learned a lot from them. There's a lot of people I can name, but
yeah,
but people like them, like I got into them because of them, and they talk a lot about their mental state, how they started, their story, their fitness progression and all that stuff. I just really look up to them.
No, dude, I want to visit Barbell Brigade in Indian Valley. Yeah.
Barbell Brigade.
Yeah, you know Barquan owns Barbell.
Yeah, Brigade. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, he does. Yeah,
yeah.
I had to look it up. I heard talking about him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I heard the gym is crazy over there, like that, like the music and everything. The energy is nuts.
Yeah, I think Kenny went there.
Kenny did go there. Yeah, yeah. So, should we tell them about the weight? The weight
meet.
Oh my
gosh.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man. You'll be hearing about this too, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah, so I'll tell the story. So basically, I think we met about Blaze Pizza, right? I think it was you, Richard, and I, and like three other people.
Yeah.
But there were two people that were on the other team. So funny enough, the name of the team is Team Gymshark versus Team Barbell Brigade.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And we're basically Team Gymshark. Yeah.
Yeah, so Richard, Darren and I and Rahul, I think we mentioned him earlier in the podcast, we're Team Gymshark, and we have the other guys who are Team Barbell Brigade because they went and we never went there before.
Yeah, so basically we're going to do a meet, right? We're going to...
Oh my gosh. Is this Kenny's actually going to happen?
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
it actually
yeah,
might so, happen.
So
we talk about competitiveness and now we're going into a weight meet.
Quick backstory. Basically, all of us live in Syosset. All of us went to Syosset High School. Went to college. A bunch of us started working out. And then one of the people on the quote-unquote Team Barbell Brigade He just like created like a home gym in his garage, basically, and so that's where he lifts. But that's, I guess that actually is happening, question mark.
Yeah So we'll be pairing up, like, I guess one team member from our team versus one team member from their team to do like a compound movement, right, or something like that.
A compound movement.
Like either like a bench press or like a squat or like a,
so we're doing like all the compound movements, bench, mm-hmm. squat, and deadlift.
I'd rather do a roundhouse kick.
I'd rather do like a jujitsu tournament.
Yo, then we're bringing Michael with us then. He did taekwondo, and he did karate.
Yeah, taekwondo. Right?
Taekwondo,
yeah. He's like, so lift this, and I just kicked the weight over.
It's like, that's it's like, is this what you wanted?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you're going to have a fun time kicking a 45-pound dumbbell, Mike.
I mean, one of those little 5-pound ones.
The 5-pound ones?
Maybe for if it was endurance. Soft, maybe it was like a little softer, you know?
Yeah. Like a sandbag or something.
Yeah. Yo, so guys, be on the lookout for a video in the future if you do this meet.
Oh my gosh, this happen. Is actually happening.
It will happen.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I guess so.
But we don't know a date. We know
that's
the
not good that I'm not training legs, though. Oh, terrible.
Yeah, you need to train legs.
Yeah, you really got to train legs. Like the compound movements that we are doing are the ones that I'm specifically not training. So I need to really work on that.
Good. Darren, you need that booty, man.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, Noah's got the biggest booty. I know you can't see it right now in the podcast, but it's crazy.
Nah, that's extra. Yeah. That's on our Patreon.
Yeah. Yo, sign up to the exclusive content.
Yo, Noah
OnlyFans. No, on the OnlyFans. Yeah.
But all Noah talks about on OnlyFans.
AMB podcast OnlyFans.
Yo, chill, man.
After hours. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
AMP only.
AMP after hours.
Yo, $10 to unlock this photo.
Yeah. Noah's booty. Yeah.
Not chill, man.
But it's in Gymshark shorts.
It's big. Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good promise to leave off the episode on.
For sure.
We are going to end with our word game. So if you don't know, it is just us going through round robin style, one by one, adding on a consecutive word to one long monstrosity of an improvised sentence. Let's start off with Darren, then we'll go me, then Richard, then Noah.
Okay. Amateur.
Hours.
Are.
Very.
Entertaining.
When.
We.
Pump. Come on.
Up.
Hour.
Yo, Richard, get it. Richard, get it.
Yo, come on, man.
Big.
Yo. Glutes. Okay, no, get it. No. Glutes.
All right,
glutes.
There we go.
All right.
Glutes.
Yo, leg day.
Leg day.
All right. We will catch you next time.
All right.
Bye, everyone.
Peace.
Bye-bye.